Welcome to our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. This is an opportunity where we're able to delve in even deeper to many of these important subjects. And as you know, we do all of this. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And we look at this to get this truth and clarity so that you can get your brain around these issues. You can talk with reasonable voices. You understand what's going on. You can engage others in conversation. And that is why we do this. On the line with me is America's mom, Sharona Bishop. She has a great love for the American idea, for what we're passing on to our children. Sharona, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Kim, for having me. I'm super grateful for your what you're doing and the work that you've been doing. Freedom versus force is a very easy way for the American people to know whether something is right or wrong in this country. And I think our, you know, my story today is really going to reflect that. So thank you so much for having me on.
It's great to have you. And in fact, you've been on national media on a very regular basis. And tell us, though, about America's Mom. I remember I first saw these like video podcasts of this really pretty mom talking about important issues. And I'm like, she is super interesting. So tell us about how that all came about.
Yes, well, I am a mother of four, and at the time, about 5 years ago, we actually were one of those families who our child was given a mental health evaluation, not only against our will, without our consent, but we had specifically said no. She cannot have this mental health evaluation that was going around the state of Colorado. And at that time, it was illegal to do that, and they did it anyway. And that really kind of spurred my action, getting involved in local school board races and trying to figure out what was going on and what was the order of command and who was calling the shots with our kids in the public school system. Fast forward a year and a half later, I started a conservative platform called America's Mom because I believe that the things that I was experiencing are they are very commonplace for all American mothers. But I also knew that a lot of parents did not know what was going on. They didn't know that the things that were being taught to their kids at school, the dumbing down of the education system, and really the overreach of school administrators and even teachers in the classroom with our own children. And so I just wanted parents to know what was happening. We started one of our very first online videos was me reading a bill. I just wanted to start reading bills that were happening in Colorado because people couldn't believe, for example, comprehensive sex education, what that was. And reading that bill, it was House Bill 1032. People literally said, you're lying. You don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, I'm just reading the bill. This is what it says. This is what they're passing in Colorado. And from there, as you're aware of, the first 90 days of Governor Polis's reign of terror in Colorado were pretty devastating. And so we caught traction because we began to participate in the recall of Governor Polis and try to get the word out to regular people that they needed to be activated. I don't talk above anybody's head. I'm just a regular person. I want to understand so I can do something about it. And I want other parents and communities members to understand what's happening so they can do something about it. So that's really where we started. They hurt my kid and they hurt our relationship and it made me mad.
Well, and the work that you've done with that, and what year was that House bill? Was that 19? I can't remember.
It was. Yeah, it was 2019. Okay. I mean, it was an onslaught that year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of tough stuff there. And people can go read that. What you do is go in and just do a web search for Colorado House Bill 19, which that's the year, and then the bill number is 1032. And Sharona, you and I, in a way, are on kind of the same trajectory as I used to think it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, to read these initiatives that are on our ballots. I realize it's not. And instead of having talking heads tell you what it is, take the time to go read it so that you understand it yourself, or also find trusted sources such as America's Mom or The Kim Munson Show that are really searching for truth and clarity on these issues. So America's Mom, and again, this was the public school system that did this mental health evaluation on your child without your permission. Is that correct?
That's correct. And as predicted, I had let the school know, if you do this, when I pick my child up, they're going to tell me they're depressed. And I kid you not, it was on point. I pull up to the school. She gets in the car and she says, "Hey, Mom, I think I'm depressed. You know, if you build it, they will come. And that's what the state of Colorado has done now systematically. They've legalized this now for 12 years old and up to do pretty much whatever they want with your child without your permission, your consent, or even your knowledge if they don't think you should know. So it's not good what's happening in Colorado. And that's really the premise of what I've been doing. I just wanted parents to be able to understand what was happening and do the necessary action to protect their kids, which leads us into school boards. We've worked really hard in our own local community and surrounding communities, partnered with many counties in Colorado to help get great candidates and help parents in their ground game so they could flip those school boards. The progressive left has done a horrible job educating kids. In my own backyard, we're not even at 25 proficiency for reading and math. That's disturbing. If this was a real business, if this was a school that was ran off of outcomes, that would be, it would be gone. It would have been, you know, everyone would have pulled their money and the school would have shut down. But because there's this unlimited supply of money and expectation that we're just going to keep cycling our kids through these failed systems, they prevail. And I don't want that for our children. I do. I don't want that for them. I want better. And I believe other parents do too. So empowering parents is my number one goal. And as you saw, amazing people across the state, amazing partnerships, churches got involved, grassroots organizations sprung up all over this state to help parents flip those boards. And at least nine, but I think there was a 10th one. I just got an email saying, I think you forgot me. That was Alamosa County. They flipped. There's four conservatives elected to their board. So it just has been incredible what's happened here in Colorado. And I like to think I played a part, but I also know I share your how to vote suggestions. I share yours every year. So I appreciate that tremendously. And we are definitely in alignment on people living free and understanding their local government.
Well, and speaking of our voter's guide, I renamed it this year, We the People Voter's Guide. And I did a voter's guide initially, I think started 4 or 5 years ago. And now there are many different voter's guides out there. But what I find interesting on some of these voter's guides is they're influenced by politics. And ours is not. Our North Star on this is to look at these issues and say, first of all, does this match up with the vision of America? That all of us are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? Is it constitutional? And is it the proper role of government? And the other thing is we take a stand on each of these issues. And what I found so interesting, Sharona, is I had people reach out to me and say, Kim, I see this differently on this particular issue. And we had a conversation about it. And so it's not a Kim says to vote this way. It's a food for thought. We also link the actual initiative. For example, that Prop 119, the new marijuana tax, ostensibly for the children, which was defeated. The final tracer looks like the Gary Investment Group, which is very left-leaning, which is interesting. And then a Republican operative was running the campaign. But the Gary Investment Group put in another $350,000 that last week. So it was over $3.2 million that they spent on that. Our side, we basically spent zero. I think that there was a marijuana group that put in maybe 10 or 15,000 and a teachers group that put in about the same amount. But it basically was 3.2 million to zero. But we were out there speaking and writing. We did op-eds. And I find that very encouraging. It was the grassroots Sharona that, no pun intended, that defeated that.
Well, it was, and that is why I look to you, because I know that you you state what's unpopular in the political class, and just because it's the best thing for America, it's the best thing for Coloradans, and I really appreciate that about you. It was challenging to go against the establishment on that bill or on that initiative, and I absolutely agree. It's been alarming to me too to sit back and watch that every initiative that's passed that is dangerous to Coloradans, if they just throw for the children behind it, they think we're stupid enough to keep falling for it. And admittedly, we did for a little while there. But I think the people are awake. I really do. I think they're beginning to understand throwing money at a problem does not solve it. Giving the government more money does not fix the government. It emboldens them. It expands their reach over us. And it allows them to have more force in our lives, as we're seeing in Colorado. So I just appreciate that so much. And yes, your voter guide was my choice this year.
Well, thank you. And speaking of Colorado, Sharona, I think Colorado is at the tip of the spear of everything that is happening in America. We all hear about the Blueprint, and that was this group that got together, Pat Stryker, Rhett Bridges, and Tim Gill. But actually, it was even before that. I had been doing some additional work, and it was Al Yates, who had been the top guy at CSU in the late 90s, had really brought them together. And I had watched CSU move from what we thought was an agricultural school, the conservative school. I actually think it has become more radical activist left than CU Boulder or CU. And so anyway, they put together this blueprint because if in fact you could influence elections and take these you know, several metro counties here along the Front Range, you can control the whole state. And that is what we have seen. And then once they got elected, this will move over to another subject. They implemented mail-in ballots, which I remember when that occurred, I'm like, gosh, that seems like that there could be problems with that. And the fact that there's automatic voter registration and they don't clean up the voter rolls, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out there is opportunity for election irregularities there, Sharona.
1,000%. And because, you know, I really want your audience to understand, my concern was my kids. My concern was being able to go to our public schools and have great outcomes to replace school board members, okay, that were, they're in charge of funding, they're in charge of curriculum. And both of those things have been very bizarre in many counties throughout Colorado. They don't seem right. Things are not right. And so what I realized is that elections have consequences, and that's why I've gotten involved in election irregularities. Because if it's not, if the outcome, the vote is not reflective of the community, I think that throws up a red flag in addition to the three things you just shared. And so we sit back and we go, as Americans, we need to investigate and just see what's going on. We have an obligation and a duty to do that. And what's become really dangerous is that in Colorado, the Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, is trying to criminalize that by instating emergency rules that prevent us from doing in-house audits without her permission and without her people coming to do it, suggesting that we can print off our own ballots now from our own desktop. In addition to, I mean, it's just, it's a crazy list of things that allow for more insecurity, not less. And it's really obvious to us regular people, but they try to gaslight us and make us feel like we're crazy, but we're not. These are things that have been proven to cause problems in the elections throughout America. And so it's only natural that someone who's worried or concerned about their local school board race would say, well, we need to look and make sure that these elections are secure because my kids matter to me. And I want them to grow up in a great environment, in a free environment. And if COVID has taught us anything, it's that government can snap you up and change your life in a moment if we allow it. And so I don't want that for them. And so it's just been a natural progression to look at elections and say, what is happening here? And sometimes I'm, you know, it seems like things are legitimate and then it seems like they're not. And we have a duty to investigate when they're not.
Well, and a couple of things on that. First of all, Sharona, I don't think that this is a right or left issue. I don't think it's a Democrat or Republican issue because all parents care about their kids. And when they are waking up, and that's one of the silver linings of this COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, is that parents all of a sudden were seeing what their kids were being taught, seeing that their kids are falling behind, and no parent, no matter their political persuasion, wants their kids to fall behind. And so this is a time and an opportunity, as difficult as it is. I always wondered what was ever going to you know, shed light on this. And so, again, a positive thing on COVID is it shed light on this, and people are waking up. It's astounding the number of moms and dads that are out there now because they see what's going on.
That's right. And they're not going to sit back. I mean, this is the last straw. You know, when they come for your children and they hurt your kids, you know, there's nothing more powerful than the protection of a mother and certainly the protection of a father. And so I'm very encouraged, actually, even though it seems kind of crazy right now. I'm really, really encouraged because all that has happened in my life is they've shown a spotlight now on what we pursue and what we are about. And it's linking us up with many, many thousands of people, you know, hopefully more across the country who are saying, I knew it. I knew it, and they are mad now. The real challenge has been for us is capturing that and plugging and getting people activated, getting them involved in their local grassroots efforts. And I think even that has, there's a cure to that now as well because of what happened to my family and what's been going on in Colorado. And I agree with you 1,000%. There are great things happening in multiple states across this country, but Colorado is special. The groundwork was laid, I think, by amplifying and highlighting the Democrat blueprint. Michelle Malkin's Rocky Mountain heist was very powerful in helping people understand the systematic plan that has been happening in Colorado. It's not a conspiracy. It's what happened. And they did an excellent job starting to educate people on what was going on in this state, that it wasn't organic and it wasn't natural. It was contrived. And so if that's the case, then we can play a part of that. We can correct that by being involved, by showing up to vote, by doing these initiatives, by speaking out. We can change the course of things in Colorado. And it's been really, really empowering. And as you mentioned, my activism, I have been really loud and vocal on those two fronts. My criticism of school boards, of course, and also my concern about electional irregularities in Colorado. And so on the morning of November 16th at 9:30, I was homeschooling my boys, and my daughter, who's graduated last year, was home, and we heard excessive banging on our front door. And within a few moments, they were yelling, you know, this is the FBI, open up. And you got to know, I mean, it's just an unbelievable feeling. I'm cooking, I'm walking around in my pajamas, all my boys are doing their schoolwork, and all of a sudden we look at each other and I'm like, let's go, let me get you in your rooms. I walked them to their bedroom and just said, wait here, I have no idea what's going to happen. Because in America right now, if you are questioning those things, you're potentially on a domestic terrorist watch list. We know the October 4th memorandum that came out from Merrick Garland's DOJ is empowering out of control school boards to make that phone call saying parents are domestic terrorists, and it gets them a tag in the system now. They are named and they are tagged in the database for the DOJ now. And that was, I knew that. And I knew that we've been extremely vocal and we're not going to back down, and we never will. But I definitely had a moment of, I have no idea what this is going to look like in Biden's America when they're here at my door. So it took me just a minute to, you know, pull it together and walk to the door. But everything was in under a minute. My husband had come upstairs from his office because of the banging. And we both realized that, you know, the FBI is here. So we went to open the door and they took a battering ram to, by the way, an unlocked door. The door was not locked. They could have opened it. They could have turned the doorknob. But instead, they took a battering ram to my door, busted it open, broke the door and the lock thing, the whole handle, the whole system there, and then proceeded with their guns drawn to, you know, pull us outside of our home. They immediately confiscated my phone and handcuffed me outside of my home. There was an excessive amount of agents. There was probably 8 FBI agents, we think, in addition to our own local police chief and our own local law enforcement, which I have to say has really been the hardest part. Because we are so pro law enforcement and we have relationships with our local officers, and it was just incredibly disappointing and disheartening to see them participate and be there for that. It was because, you know, the FBI doesn't have any support. They really can't do much on their own. They have to go and rope in your local sheriff or your local police chief to do their dirty work for them. And so it's been a really challenging experience for our family. But as you've seen and as you know yourself, Kim, it only emboldens you when you know that you are in the right and you know that you are making a difference and the word is getting out and people are activated. It only emboldens you to dig in and double down and do what's necessary moving forward. So I think eventually we'll be grateful for this experience. For right now, it's still just, you know, it's It's unbelievable in America that this would happen, because the FBI is reserved for violent criminals, for those with a criminal background, you know, traffickers, drug and human traffickers, that sort of situation. We have never used the DOJ's FBI to invade and raid a housewife's home because of what? Because I speak out, because I talk a lot. And it's alarming, and it should really concern every American what has happened in my home.
Well, definitely. And a couple of things on that. First of all, and as I started to do the radio show with my voice as well, I kind of had this thought about, gosh, you know, what if they, you know, came after me or because of something that I said? And then I thought about it. I thought, Sharona, if I am saying something that the government is going to come after me for, then I better say it, because it's not going to get better. If people think that if they are just quiet, that it's going to go away and we're going to get our freedom back, we're kidding ourselves. We have to engage in this battle of ideas. And that's why I do the show. That's why you have your voice. But I'm curious what that day looked like. So there were 8 FBI agents, local law enforcement. They used a battering ram. They handcuffed you. Now, did they take you away, and did they read you your rights? What did that look like?
Oh, no, there was no reading of rights. There was no anything like that. I kept asking, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? We were not violent. We weren't hyped up. They were very hyped up. And when the door was knocked out, busted open, my husband was standing in front of me, and he began calming them down. And I'm, you know, your listeners may or may not know, but a lot of my family works in criminal justice. And so we're very aware of our rights. In that moment, I have to say my mind kind of went blank. Just kind of that fear takes over a little bit. But my husband was very aware. He was a very calming influence that day, thankfully. And they pulled him out and began to handcuff him. But he knew his rights and was essentially like, get those off me now, or there's going to be a problem. So they removed the handcuffs from him quickly, but they kept me cuffed for about a half an hour while they went through the home. They took pictures of every inch of my home. My boys were still inside in their room, and my daughter eventually came upstairs also, because you could hear ruckus downstairs. And at that, you know, very shocked, very like, what is going on? And she's 18. She's little. She's just the cutest thing ever, and such a sweet soul. And she just was like, what is happening?
Sure.
At one point, I asked her to get her phone so we could call our attorney, which I had attempted to do. And a 6 foot, he's, I think about 6'7". He was a really huge FBI agent. He wanted to go down with her to get her phone. So he grabs her by her hoodie and pulls her down the stairs. She gets her phone and he grabs her by her hoodie and pulls her back up the stairs. Just some unnecessary roughness because they came so amped and so hyped up and so ready to do I don't know what. And I laugh a little bit, because otherwise I really would just cry. And I don't think in America, I never thought this was possible. But I'm so available, as you know. In Colorado, I've held many sessions with elected officials, rallies with elected officials, law enforcement. I recently did a briefing with the Mesa County Commissioner's District Attorney's Office, Wayne Williams, all of them showing them the information that had been provided already related to the voting systems and why we felt they were insecure. I mean, I have made myself available. They never had to come to my home this way. And so I wonder why they did. It was force and intimidation. They were violent. It was insane. And I, for someone who's never been involved in that sort of situation, I my trust is broken for certain. I don't think I necessarily agreed with the three-letter organizations anyway, but now I really have a lot of concerns and suspicion over their behavior. I've asked several times while they were in my home, why are you here? Do you even know why you're here? Do you even know what you're doing? And their response was the typical, I'm just doing my job.
That's very concerning. But did they have a warrant, and what if so, what grounds was the warrant issued, and who was the judge who did that?
Yeah, so Judge Gallagher of Mesa County, he's a federal judge, signed off on the warrant, and that was kind of sad. We did our hunter safety class together, so I was like, wow. I know these people, and that's what's just so strange also is, you know, to know them and go, wow, I never had a phone call. I never had a query, never. they just went straight from A to Z, you know, and the warrant essentially says, or at least the one to take my property, said that there was a conspiracy to commit wire fraud. And I've since heard from multiple former FBI agents, it's very fascinating anyway, that that's a blanket term that's used to basically say, we think you're a criminal, so we're going to come in and we're going to take your stuff and try to find a crime. And I find that very shocking in America, because our Constitution says we are innocent until proven guilty. And in this case, this is a potential federal crime that's put on a warrant to allow them to enter your home to find a crime that they think is consistent with what they believe. And I didn't think that's how we did it in America. That's Venezuela, that's Cuba, that's China. That's not America.
Okay, so they took your phone. Did they take your computer? What else did they take? And did you get it back?
They did. They took my desktop, which has 17 years of pictures of all my children on there.
I'm sorry.
And my laptop, no, they have not given it back to me. I've called twice now to check the status of things.
What about your phone? Did you have to get a new phone? Or
I did, yeah. They took my phone immediately. They confiscated that as soon as they pulled us through the front door. You know, they just had a hold of us and pulled us out the front door and immediately took my phone. So I was not able to take pictures, to do video. And, you know, I was talking to a podcaster the other day, and he just really was stressing the importance of if you're going to be involved, and you're even if you're an elected official at this point, a conservative, having surveillance of some kind that can film these things. Because interestingly enough, after this happened, I immediately went public immediately, because I know that's the only tool I have. You know, mm-hmm. When you've got all of these law enforcement at your home, they have the power. There's nothing I could do. Nothing. They wouldn't even let me call my attorney. So there literally was nothing I could do until they were satisfied that they had, you know, accomplished what they were there to do. And it was on their timeline. I asked multiple times to see the warrant. They would not get it for me. They said they'd get it when they felt like it. I asked for their names, which I only got first names. I didn't get badge numbers or anything. They did not feel that they owed me anything. And this is America. So, you know, I sat there just shaking. I just couldn't believe it, because I know my rights. You know, my husband and I were sitting there just going, this is unbelievable. But essentially, you know, we've just got this situation where we have to be able to hold these people accountable. And I don't know that we will be able to, because the district attorney, Dan Rubenstein, in Mesa County, who has partnered with the DOJ to do these warrants, right? He came out with a press statement with the Attorney General of Colorado, Phil Weiser. About a week and a half ago, they did a joint press statement saying that no force had been used at Clerk Peters' home, and who was another person who received a surprise search that day, and at her home. But they did not mention me. They did not say my name. They did not talk about my family. They did not talk about what they did at my home. They have literally tried to delete this whole situation, which tells me they know they did the wrong thing. The fact that they will not comment on it, that they will not provide any proof against what I have said, they're just literally not acknowledging me at all. They're saying that the clerk who said what happened at my home is lying, at her home. But they won't talk about what they did at mine. And that's why I feel so urgent to make sure I'm letting people know what happened, because they're trying to bury it.
Well, and just another question, have they paid for your door to have that repaired and to have because that's expensive to have those kinds of repairs done. Mm-hmm. Have they done that?
They have not. I did. They gave us a number that we could call. So I called the number. But actually, the district attorney, Dan Rubenstein, we've had a campaign. Dan Rubenstein owes me a door. And since he allowed them, he gave them permission to use force at my home. I think he's responsible even more than the FBI are. So we've had quite a few of just great people all around the country calling their office to let him know he does owe me a door. And okay. In the meantime, my husband has been able to repair it so we can lock it and close it.
Okay. Sharona Bishop, what you've identified, two things: the school board elections And we have been asleep at the wheel. The radical, progressive activists, they're really regressive, have taken over school boards, city councils, because I think that we were asleep. We were thinking that people, you know, were taking care of our families, our businesses and all. We think that the people that we're electing, first of all, that that they had our best interests in mind, our children's best interests. But we're realizing that that has not been the case. And then on this whole election integrity thing, and I wanted to go back to a word that you said about legitimate. And what we're learning is just because that there is a law, a piece of legislation that has been passed that makes it, quote unquote, and I have air quotes, legal, does not make it right. And so one of the things, I was on a Zoom call, a late breaking Zoom call last Friday, and it was by the bipartisan election commission or something. And they were talking about a variety of different things. But one of the things that they were touting was the ability to register to vote in Colorado online. And all you would have to provide, at least the way I understood it, was your name, your date of birth, and the last four numbers of your Social Security number. I'm like, well, what could go wrong with that? So they're going to, I think, try to get legislation passed. So it would be legal, but it's not right. And I think that just because something is legal doesn't really make it legitimate. Your thoughts?
I absolutely. So even while they were in my home, my husband was talking with my children about that very loudly for them to hear. There's a difference between legal and lawful. And just because someone has given you permission to do it does not mean it should happen. And I think I've been really shocked at the way that the legislative body works. You know, they want to get their five bills passed, regardless of whether those bills are constitutional. And I had known someone who worked in the state, the House, who was working on bills. And I had asked him, you know, what do you do when someone brings a bill to you that's not constitutional? He says, I advise them that it's not constitutional. I say, did that stop them? No. Do you write the bill anyway? Yes. So they don't care. They're being given guidance that a bill is not constitutional, and they write it anyway, and then they pass it anyway, and the governor signs it into law anyway. And so that's the difference there, legal and lawful. It doesn't mean just because something is written by the state house does not mean that it's lawful. And I'm learning very quickly that just because there is a law is only as good as someone is willing to acknowledge it. And even in my situation, I feel that a lot of things that have gone on have been unlawful and illegal. And the only thing that matters is if a judge will look at it and say, oh, you're right. But in Colorado, we've had such an issue even with our judges. So we're in a crisis in Colorado. Our court system is not integral. Our Colorado Supreme Court justices are all under investigation for their part in a horrible conspiracy to take money from the people of Colorado to pay off a bribe. Our supreme majority in Colorado, every elected official is a raging progressive leftist. And then, of course, the only thing we have left is we the people. And we're standing up against them and we're winning. And that's, I want to stress that, too. We are winning because this is the way America works. When we are done with our government stomping all over us and superseding our rights, we say enough. And we rise up and we do what's necessary to get our state back, which we've been doing. And I think it's incredible. By the way, to just note that it started with local, you know, that for us anyway, on the Western Slope, that congressional race and seeing Lauren Boebert get voted into Congress. That was a We the People movement. That was a total and complete grassroots movement. And from there, you know, to be able to unseat that 10-year incumbent. And then from there, we've moved to city councils, to county commissioner races and school board races. It's so important that the people not give in to despair and feel hopeless, because although our governor is lawless, although our court system seems to be reckless and lawless as well, we the people still prevail. I mean, look around, look what's happening. In Boulder, just 2 days ago, there was a massive rally out there. And, you know, it won't be reported on MSM, but they know, the people there know, they see each other. And it's almost like a color revolution, right? You identify one another, you see each other face to face, and you know we're the majority. So we don't need to use force. We're going to continue to show up. We're going to use the law. We're going to elect great people who will stand up for us and activate the citizenry while keeping an eye on those election systems. I'm excited.
Well, I'm very excited about it as well. And Sharona, as you know, I do this other show, America's Veteran Stories. I've interviewed over 160 World War II veterans and, of course, veterans from our other wars and conflicts as well. And I didn't really understand this term getting a lot of flack until I started to do these. And back in World War II, when our bombers would either go over Japan or Germany, what would happen is the Germans, the Japanese, they would shoot up into the air that was called flak, and all kinds of metal to try to injure the bombers, to try to you know, shoot our guys down. And the closer that they would get to the target, the more intense the flak became. And so with that, I would say this FBI raid, if there was no there on this election integrity question, then what would it, you know, they wouldn't care. But I think the fact that you are taking on so much flack, it indicates to me that you are getting right over the target. Sharona Bishop, your final thought.
I agree with that because it's unprecedented. And what I would say is we can't allow this to become the norm. We can't allow the abuse of our agencies on regular everyday Americans to continue. We have to stand up to this. We have to double down. We can't become afraid and sneak back into the shadows. We have to be more bold than ever because I agree with you. We are winning. And that is the concern, right? There are things that are being unveiled, uncovered, brought into the light so the people can choose. The people can decide what they want and what they think and what's true. And so I am so, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to hearing from a lot of the people who will be listening to this and just sharing our story. It's not every day that you have incredible elected officials like Clerk Tina Peters from Mesa County who have done the right thing regardless of the entourage of hits like you're describing. And we want to stand with those people. We want to lift up our elected officials who are doing the right thing in spite of the unimaginable abuse that they're facing. So I just encourage everyone, if you can go to standwithtina.org and read her story, of course, because this is the tip of the spear, Colorado is, particularly to election irregularities. And then, of course, if they would come to americasmom.net and find us there, join our efforts there, and just be encouraged. We are winning, and we are going to win. There's no one who can stop what's coming. We're awake. We're fully awake, and they're terrified of the power of we the people, and especially we the people who know our rights, who are governed by the Constitution, and know how to restrain government. So, Kim, thank you so much for having me on and letting me share this story. And I just, you know, I can't tell you enough what the work that you're doing, how important this is. You're one of the few media who will allow this story to get out and embolden the people. So thank you so much.
Well, we are kindred spirits here. We care about our country. We care about our children. And I just wanted to share this quote from one of our founding fathers, Sharona, and that is from Thomas Paine. I've been stressed out about what I think that we're passing on to our children. And I got great comfort in this quote when I came across it. He said, "I prefer peace, but if trouble must come, let it come in my time so that my children can live in peace." And we have been presented with this time. People are stepping up. We are Americans. And indeed, you are standing up for our next generation, for our American idea. And I so appreciate that, Sharona Bishop.
Thank you so much, Kim. Thank you.
Okay. And indeed, my friends, we do stand on the shoulders of giants here in Americans. Thank you so much for joining our Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. God bless you and God bless America.